And here we are on the air on this Wednesday, December the 2nd, 2020, first on the air with Glenn Coble of the holiday season. Last Wednesday was Thanksgiving Eve, but we are full bore into the holiday season now. Christmas trees up, Santa Claus is everywhere, snow on the ground. How about that? Glenn, here we are. Did you have a good Thanksgiving?
We had a typical Thanksgiving. I gained about 400 pounds, and it was fun.
So it was typical.
Yeah, we got calls from all three of our kids and got to Facebook with a couple of them. And, yeah, I love being able to do that. I don't understand why people feel the necessity to get together with their family now with Facebook and all the different, what is it called?
The Zoom.
Yeah, you can Zoom. And it's just like being there. You can't touch them, but that's a good thing right now.
You know what? I'm going to say this now so I don't lose the memory of it, because I want to touch something else that we were talking about in hour number one this morning. Matter of fact, we did a whole hour this morning, and I'll explain that in a second for people who weren't listening, and we'll get into that. But last week on your Progressive Life show,
yeah,
which is on from 12:15 to 1 p.m., you have Dr. Feynman on.
Right.
And he'll be on today. Last week, I was listening to the show, Thanksgiving Eve, as I was driving, and I also listened to it in the house. Now, here's where I disagreed with him. Because you guys were talking about JFK.
Yeah.
And you were talking about how it was, it would have been JFK Jr.'s 60th birthday. I think that was one of the things you talked about.
Yes, that's right. He did.
Right. Now, here's where I disagreed. And I'm not, we don't know. We're not fortune tellers.
You think it's 61 years?
That's what I'm hung up on. Yeah. No, the conversation was, and I don't know how you guys got onto this last week, but it was that JFK Jr. was having illusions of running for the Senate in New York on the Democratic ticket in, would have been the election of 2000. Now, that was the election that Hillary Clinton ended up running as the Democrat from New York and winning. And the discussion was that if JFK Jr. had run, he would have beat Hillary Clinton in the primary, and he would have went on. I'm going to tell you why I disagree with that totally.
Well, now, I always defer to Dr. Feynman because he is a presidential expert.
Right, but I want to know what you think.
Okay.
Because here's my reasoning behind this. Because his reasoning was the name and the Camelot and so on and so forth. But here's why I think, because again, this is New York. This is where this all happened. Now, you've got to go, this is not Hillary Clinton of 2020. Now, she's got a lot of baggage now. This is Hillary Clinton of 2000. She was the sitting First Lady of the United States when she ran.
Yeah.
Everybody knew who she was. Bill Clinton was a hugely popular president.
Yeah.
The 9/11 had not happened in New York yet. She was a very, I think at that time she had the highest popularity rating she had ever had, because people felt sympathetic for her for what Bill did. In the last couple years of his presidency.
What was that?
Do you remember that whole episode with that? So there was that going on. And JFK Jr., we have canonized him because he died.
And he was very good looking.
He was very good. But he had a big scandal in New York about it took him four or five times to pass the bar. He couldn't pass the bar exam. He had George Magazine at that time, which was not doing tremendously well. He was a guy who did not have many successes in his life, and Jackie Kennedy was already dead. Certainly his father was gone. The only person who really could have campaigned for him would have been his sister, and she's not.
And his mother was still alive.
No, she wasn't.
Wasn't she?
No, she died in 93 or 94.
Oh, I thought she was still alive.
So, and he also had this model wife, which people are not really favorable of. And he was known as a playboy in New
York.
Was
he? I didn't know
that.
Well,
yeah, he dated the actress. I can't think of the actress he dated right before he married.
What's her name?
Yeah, what's her name? Sure, too. So, do I think he could have won the election? Well, sure, he could have, but Hillary Clinton would not have been a walk through the park. I don't think it certainly was a foregone conclusion.
I didn't get the feeling that Dr. Feynman was saying it was a walk through the park, but I thought Dr. Feynman thought that Kennedy had a good chance.
I think he would have had a chance.
He did or not.
I think he would have had a chance, But sitting First Lady of the United, I mean, I think that's what put her in there. She was thought of as very sympathetic. She was thought of as the most admired woman in America.
Yeah, because she stood by her man.
I think because she, also there were those pictures where she put Chelsea in between the two of them. And, you know, she was going to go do her own thing. Yeah. She didn't have time for him anymore. And also, at that time, people forget as time goes on. You know, you have to take all the baggage out of it. You've got to take...
Well, the baggage was given to her, not necessarily right. that she took it.
You've got to take Benghazi. That would have not happened. You've got to take emails. That would not have happened. You've got to take presidential losses. That would not have happened. You've got to take a lot of 9/11. That had not happened. You've got to take all that out and go to Hillary Clinton of 1999-2000, and also look at JFK Jr., who we did canonize after he died.
Yes, we did.
We did. Because
a lot of people didn't even know him until he died.
No, and it was a horrible death.
Yeah.
Horrible death.
Dying in an airplane over Cape Cod.
Right. So do I think, honestly, in my opinion, I don't think he would have beat her. I think her notoriety at that point was much higher as the sitting First Lady. I think people always thought of him as kind of a dumb kid, and he wasn't dumb, but that bar exam thing did hurt him, failing it so many times.
I didn't realize he had failed it so many times. I never thought of him as a dumb kid. I always thought of him as a good-looking...
Daryl Hannah got up from one of the people listening. Daryl Hannah was who he dated.
I always had a feeling that he was privileged.
And I think there was that, and that's not looked upon very...
But then Hillary was privileged, too, to some degree, because...
I don't know as a child she was.
No. I didn't mean as a child. But at that point, being the First Lady, she had a lot of privilege.
Well, this was also the election, don't forget, where the Republican was supposed to be Rudy Giuliani, who was very popular at that point in New York, being the mayor. But I think he ended up getting a form of cancer, which obviously he recovered from.
I didn't remember
that. But that's why he decided not to run on the Republican side. And they got that... that guy who walked over to Hillary's podium, and that was not good. Remember what his...
No, see, I remember
he's
seeing
He's in
that.
The ether now.
Yes.
And remember, he tried to attack her on the affair, and it didn't work. Because in those days, she was seen as very sympathetic. People got to remember, times have changed in the last 20 years.
Well, and there's been a lot of BS that's been told about Hillary that wasn't true, but it stuck with her. That's the baggage you're talking about.
Right, but in those days, it wasn't there.
Right.
Absolutely. So, I mean, in your honest opinion, because I don't think you gave it.
No, because I'm not a historian.
Well, neither am I.
You're a lot better historian than I am. And my remembrance of him was I didn't really even know him.
Exactly.
When it happened. So, I always defer to a person who has a doctorate in front of his name.
But both of these people, because of the canonization of him, because of his early demise, and certainly Hillary is still with us in a big way, I mean, back in 2000, would you think it would have been... Because I know Dr. Feinstein, he didn't say foregone conclusion, but he said he thought he would have beat her.
I think he thought that was true. No, I don't.
Neither do I.
No, I not that I know any better, and I've never studied it, whereas I'm sure Dr. Feinman has studied it. So I'm going to defer to the person with DR in front of his name.
But at that time, being a Democrat, as you are, who would you say?
I am?
I've heard that. Who would you have said was going to win that election? It would have been a primary, too.
It would have been a primary.
I think... First of all, I don't think there would have been a primary because I think I don't think JFK Jr. would have ran against the First Lady.
He didn't really show that he wanted to that aggressively, I don't think.
No, and I think once he... Because Hillary was going to go for that.
Yeah.
There was no doubt about it,
yeah.
JFK Jr. or not. And I think that once she made her intentions known, I don't think he would have been naive enough to make that his first political run.
That's not a hill you want to die on, I don't think.
No, and at that point, she wouldn't have died. If she would have lost that primary, she's still the First Lady. She doesn't go away.
Yeah, and I don't think she would have... I agree with you. I think she would have won that primary.
So do I. And that's...
So noted, and I will tell Dr. Feynman.
Tell Dr. Feynman this today. He doesn't know what he... Because he'll come up with a reasoning, and you got to say, listen, Doc, we still don't agree with you, Dr. Feynman.
He obviously isn't listening, or I would have gotten some message on the phone.
But I just... To me, that was an amazing statement from a person as noted as Dr. Feynman, that he thought JFK Jr. would have walked away with that.
Well, you know, there are a lot of experts that have been absolutely wrong about lots of stuff. So we could be absolutely wrong.
Oh, and I'm not saying he could not have won.
Yeah.
I just think at that point in his life, he would not have... Who would get in a primary with a First Lady of the United States?
And remembering the newscasts about it, when they pretty much were sure he had died in the airplane in the water, I don't remember people saying presidential candidate. They didn't refer to him that way. I don't think people really thought of him that way.
No, but he had a lot of trouble in college. He had a lot of trouble with the bar exam.
So did I.
That was, but I mean, when you're JFK Jr., that's a big deal.
Yeah.
And I also think he would have been better suited to run for something like mayor of New York, which would have come up.
Yeah. Or even senator there. Right. Because of his name recognition. Yeah.
So that's how we kill the first 15 minutes of this show. But we're going to come back and talk about something we talked about in hour number one, which was pronunciation. Right. And we have a neat way to start this again, because Adam called in this morning, and we got into a whole thing about it that killed the whole first hour. But it's an interesting topic.
Okay.
And we learned all the different ins and outs of this, and we'll be back in 1 minute. Stay tuned.
Scott, did you know that for years, little children used to get oranges in their stockings at Christmas time?
I had heard about that. What was the purpose?
Well, it was said that oranges represented gold. But when you put an orange in a stocking and swung it around, you could keep anybody away from your Christmas gifts.
Happy holidays from WWGH Radio 107.1 FM.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Scott Spears, Glenn Coble, back with you here on WWGH Radio on the air on this Wednesday, now that we've got that whole JFK Jr. Hillary Clinton thing sorted out from last week. What we're going to do is get into the conversation that Adam Lepp and I were having early on this morning.
Okay.
Now, here's how it started. About 1 minute before I went on the air, because on the news report today, I'm talking about two officers who were honored for saving a gentleman in Milan, Ohio. Now, somebody called about a minute before I went on the air and said he's from that area, and it's not Milan, it's Milan.
Oh, Milan.
Yeah. Milan. We don't know.
No. And I had a football player from there, and I think we always struggled with that.
So it's Milan, which is fine. So I went on the air and said this morning.
Well, it's like around here, it's LaRue, not LaRue.
Exactly. They call it LaRue, but it is LaRue, which we talked. So that... I went on and I said, I'm wrong. Even the news report, I can't change it from here, but it's I'm wrong. It's not. And we learned that...
I wish I had that on... Well, we do have that on
tape. We do have that on tape.
You're wrong. Huh?
That's right. And here's the interesting thing. I got a message this morning from Charlie Ever's wife, Jeannie, who's out there listening.
Sure.
And she said that their first donkey, Clyde, came from Homestead Farms in Milan, Ohio. Uh-huh. Charlie made shingles dressed in the father... Let's see here. Dressed as the father of Thomas Edison, who was also a shingle maker. So they had many good times there.
Huh.
So, and Thomas Edison was from Milan, Ohio. So,
if you're in Europe, it's Milan.
Well, see, if you're in California, it's Carmel. If you're in Indiana, it's Carmel.
Yeah.
So there you go. So this is the conversation that typified that earlier on, and I thank Jeannie for giving us that information on, I'm sure Charlie knew the name of Milan, Milan, Ohio. I'm sure Jeannie does. But Adam called in. Now, here's where we got into the big, it was a fun conversation to have. But pronunciation and pronunciation. Now, Adam got a little hot on this one earlier on. Now, if you look at the spelling, you would probably say pronunciation. But we say pronounce. How do you pronounce a word? So how does it become pronunciation?
My father said it was pronunciation.
Yeah, a lot of
people
say it's pronunciation.
That's how come.
But if you do some research on the internet, it will say that they're even spelling the word wrong by saying pronunciation, that it should be pronunciation, and one is the verb form and one is the noun form of the word. Now, what do you say?
I say pronunciation because that's what my father told
pronounce.
Me.
Pronounce.
Yeah.
Okay.
N-U-N rather than N-O-U-N.
But why do we say pronounce a word? We don't say pronounce a word.
Because we have idiots for forefathers.
I don't know. Interesting. It's interesting. Yeah. Because I always use the example of aunt.
Yeah. And I say aunt.
And aunt. But there is no English grammatical rule that says a U would be silent.
Yeah. Well, my mother was always referred to by her New England family as Aunt Betty.
Oh, and it has become regional.
Yeah.
But I think it probably is aunt. And people who are saying aunt...
Yeah, that's taking the U out of it.
Right. And we do have a spelling of aunt in the English language. It's an insect. It's A-N-T.
Yeah.
And we don't spell our aunt... You know, we don't say Aunt Betty. We don't go A-N-T.
Right.
So I just think we're mispronouncing it.
Oh, we probably are.
Yeah.
But are you mispronouncing it if it's become the language of the realm? I don't think so. I don't, because you mispronounce it with somebody else's theory, I think if you're in the area where it's pronounced Aunt Betty, I think it's Aunt Betty is correct.
Well, now, here's the weird thing. Apparently, mayoral and mayorial are both correct.
Is that right?
That's what I heard this morning.
Okay.
But electorial and electoral are not both correct.
No, those are two different things, aren't they?
Well, what's electorial?
That's like the electoral college.
Right.
It's probably
a noun. But some people say it's electoral college.
No, that's wrong. Electoral would imply, it's been too long since I've
So it's not electoral.
No, I don't believe
Because
that.
Adam told me, because I say electorial.
I believe that's correct.
And Adam told me this morning I was wrong.
Yeah, but Adam's usually right. I mean, Adam's a pretty smart guy.
Well.
I don't know.
Depends on who you talk to.
But
back to your rule, if most people say it one way, does that make it right?
I think if it's regionally pronounced one way, that's the correct way to pronounce that.
Because we certainly say electorial.
Like, if you live in Athens, Ohio, and you pronounce the word, the name of the city, C-H-A-U-N-C-E-Y, Chauncey, nobody will know what you're talking about, or they'll laugh you off the place. It's Chauncey.
Right. But people say Chauncey.
Not very many. Not down there, they don't. And I think when you're in the area where the language is being used, I think you have to go with the language of the area.
Let's take the phone call.
Let's do that.
Go ahead, caller.
Sorry, it's me again. I'm just checking just English references, and it is electoral college, but I actually see this blog post that says electoral college, and then it says how we elect our president, what's wrong with the electoral college. But electorial is unusual because I wasn't even aware that mayoral was a word. I always say mayoral. They're different words with different spellings and pronunciations, but electoral is the word. But it's one of the quirks of our language. That's what makes English so fascinating.
Yeah. Is it the electoral college or the
electoral? Electoral is not a word. Mayoral is. I always say mayoral, but they're both correct. And I'll continue to say mayoral, but mayoral is okay.
That's good to know. I've pronounced that wrong for 74 years.
We've mispronounced the whole thing.
And it, just as we talked about earlier, don't want to sound like a broken record, but English is such a fascinating language. And we have such lack of logic. Did you take any languages in school or as an adult, Glenn?
I'm sorry?
Do you speak any other languages? Did you take any languages in school?
I took lots of languages. I took Russian. I took Spanish. I took...
Russian and Spanish are excellent examples, because we were talking about... like.
But I failed them both.
Russian is very difficult. It's like 36 letters. It sounds like you're clearing your throat. I mean, more than German. It's very guttural.
There's a letter that's pronounced like the end of Swiss cheese, so it's...
just like some of the ways that Melania Trump speaks, because she's Eastern European, and it's a similar type of language.
Yeah.
They don't have objects. They don't say the chair, they say chair. And so you'll often hear people that are Eastern European not use the or a, like or whatever you want to call it, or an, like we do.
Like go to hospital in England.
Right. And that is a clear indication that somebody may have Eastern European, or maybe just likes to sound that way. we use objects a little too much in English. Spanish, as you know, has genders.
Yeah.
And I know German better, but you know, a chair is der Stuhl, which is masculine. A Mädchen is a girl, and that's actually neuter. So kind of doesn't even make any sense.
No.
And
language just grows with the area.
We don't have those genders in English, which kind of throws you if you learn one of those languages. And I think Russian's kind of the same way. With German, you don't just add an S to make a plural. Not every plural is an S, like tooth or teeth, but most of them are S. With German, if you put an S to pluralize, normally it's a foreign word. And that also kind of, and the declensions. But the consolation prize is it's phonetic. You can pretty much pronounce a German word exactly like it looks, even if it's one of those 20-letter compound words. Spanish is somewhat phonetic. I think Italian's a little trickier because it's got a Latin influence.
I took German in high school, and I could understand it because it was phonetic. Spanish threw me off.
And there's not quite as many dialects. And Spanish, especially now with so many people of Spanish and Latino ancestry, there's so many different dialects, the way people speak, and certainly it'll help you if you learn Spanish in school, but if you go to Mexico versus if you go to Spain or Puerto Rico, people are going to talk a little bit differently, but you can usually pick it up.
Yeah.
I mean, Austrian German isn't the same as German in different parts of Germany, but at least it's more similar, and being phonetic, it is helpful. But I talked to Scott about the synonyms. There's probably 10 words that mean big. I mean, big, large, huge, gigantic, enormous. And if you're learning English, okay, there's no genders. That makes it easy because German has three genders. But you may learn, your teacher will say, well, if something is of a lot of size, it's large, it's big. But I might say it's huge or gigantic or enormous, or make up a word like ginormous that people use, and someone will say, what does that mean? So that's kind of where you get thrown if you learn English as a second language, and you appreciate how difficult it is because we have so many words.
Well, I'm glad you say it's difficult, because I failed every time I tried to take language. I have no aptitude.
Not as many declensions. We have some. We don't have the genders. We don't have the crazy plurals like German. But it's not phonetic, and we have so many words. Just think, you know, how many words can mean hate? Hate and big, I think, are two common words where there's got to be a dozen synonyms that I could just rattle them off.
Well, one of the things my father used to, my father took Greek, and he spoke it fairly well. And one of the things that he always complained about the English language is there's only one word for love. And in Greek, there are seven. So, meaning different
Greek
types of love.
Associated with love, I guess that's a good thing. But that's a good point. Why do we have a dozen words that mean hate? Why do we have one word that means love? I mean, we have adore, words that are similar to love, not exact synonyms.
Yeah.
Adore, admire, they sort of mean love. It depends what
sort
kind of love. I mean,
yeah. Now, what are the words we have that mean
I love my wife or I love my brother? I mean, there are different, there are different connotations.
Scott just asked a good question. What words do we have that are synonyms of hate?
Couple that I can think of without I'm not looking online like I was checking on electoral detest, abominate, dislike.
But doesn't then mean love? If dislike means hate?
In some ways, I mean, I guess ironically, many people love their wife or husband but don't like them. That's kind of common.
Yeah, dislike them.
I hear people say all the time, I dislike this person, but I don't hate them.
Yeah, and most people probably love their family but don't necessarily like them. You should like and love. I mean, that probably would apply to many people. It's funny, in a funny way, yeah. Detest, abominate is a stronger word than hate, but in a general case, it's a synonym. Dislike is not quite as strong. And some phrases don't care for. Idioms like not my cup of tea. We have so many. We have idioms in every language. English is full of them.
We have a few idioms here at the station.
Yeah, idioms. And,
they all come in at night.
I could think of quite a few for hate, and maybe we should have a few more for love.
Now, Adam, hold on. We want to get this from you and Glenn. What's the name of the Christmas flower?
Well, I'm not a big Christmas person, so I don't say it often. I say poinsettia, but I make the I silent. I'm not adding a letter like electorial, but I just say poinsettia. But they're both correct.
I agree with you, Adam. I say poinsettia.
I say poinsettia too.
But
you say vase or vase, Glenn? See, vase to me sounds more offensive. It's like if you spell grand, grande, and you're like a hotel. You can, this is like something Jerry Seinfeld would say. But I have a similar presentation to him. Yeah, not to he. It's to him. Anyway, if a hotel is grand, maybe it's 100 a night. If it's grand, grande, maybe it's 120 a night. It just sounds fancier.
Yeah. Well, Adam, hold the line for a second. We got to take a 60-second timeout here. Adam Lepp's on the line. Glenn Coble's in studio.
Can't
and we're
going to
come back
name.
In 60. I just don't care. We're going to come back in 60 seconds with more pronunciation here on WWGH Radio. Poinsettias. Get your poinsettias. Charlie, what is your favorite Christmas movie?
Well, I've always liked It's a Wonderful Life. Jimmy Stewart and that great line by Little Zuzu at the end of the movie. Every time a bell rings, an angel gets a fruitcake. And that always brings a tear to my eye.
That's not the line. It's every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings.
Not in my neighborhood.
Happy holidays from WWGH Radio 107.1 FM.
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth, spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
And we're back, Scott Spears and Glenn Coble on the Really Big Shoe. Now, see, that's how Ed Sullivan used to say it, but we say show in this neck of the woods, and some people say program. Now, we're joined on the line by Adam Lepp, who's very interested in this language conversation, 46 minutes past the hour. Adam, go ahead.
Not to talk politics and other more negative events. We're talking about something that's important, but it's lighter, and it's just something that, I think Glenn and I are really similar here. We are just fascinated by language.
I am fascinated by language. I'm not good at it.
I'm not fascinated by language. What was that?
No,
I don't care.
Adam and I are smart. You're smart.
I've just blocked out half this conversation. I'm looking at Dancing Santa, and I don't really care.
I don't know Glenn as well as Scott, so it's like I'm just learning something. I think of Glenn, he's real liberal. I don't agree with a lot of politics.
But Glenn, you darn liberal.
And so
I prefer to be called liberal.
Not political. Yeah, I was, I always let people know. Like on Facebook, I'm in like a group of like lost hits from the 70s and 80s, and so I like to answer the questions. And I always tell people, I'm not checking online. I'm not going on my phone or computer and doing a Wikipedia or Billboard.com or something. I'm giving you an answer out of my brain, and don't want to sound boastful, but usually I'm right. But in this case, I was looking at other synonyms for hate because I knew that I forgot some.
Yeah.
And in addition to the ones that I gave, I forgot abhor. Or despise.
Yeah, abhor. That's a good one.
I haven't heard of execrate. I've never heard of execrate before, but it's listed as a synonym for hate.
I missed that. What was that word, Adam?
Execrate. Execrate.
I have not heard of that word.
I've not heard of that at all. Yeah, it does mean express great loathing for. Loathe also means hate. And loathe is interesting because it sounds like love. If you're a little drunk, somebody might say, I loathe you, and it sounds like I love you or I loathe you.
Lean across the bar and give him a kiss.
Yeah, and you just get confused. Some people pronounce it loathe. I don't know why, but it could be pronounced loathe. Love is also very, a non-phonetic word. How do you get an out of an O with a silent E?
There's a lot of non-phonetic words in the English.
Yeah, and you just learn that more. I think Russian is somewhat phonetic. I mean, not as much as German, but it's got 36 letters, and again, it's guttural.
Yeah.
So you'll have to learn a whole new way of talking.
Yeah.
And Greek and Spanish, Italian are beautiful languages to hear. I guess, you get used to German. It's not all, you get used to Russian and other Eastern European languages. It's not as, it grows on you, and it sounds a little more beautiful, but it's just so different. It kind of shocks you. There's not as many vowels.
I wish I were one of those people. We have a lot of people in the government that can speak 7 and 8 different languages. I wish I was one of those, but I can't.
Did you hear Alex Trebek could speak 17 languages?
Oh,
did
my
you hear me?
Goodness, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was just such an intellectual. I mean, I know he's a local guy. I can't stand Drew Carey. I don't know how he possibly got the job hosting The Price is Right.
Money.
I don't know how. I don't. And that beard looks terrible. I don't know if he was doing a No Shave November. He was never much to look at. I applaud his weight loss. I mean, I admire him for that. I know it's not easy.
But whose line is it is the best show on TV?
Yeah, well, there certainly are worse shows, but yeah, I'm just not a Drew Carey fan.
My wife won't watch it because there's too many double entendres.
I know Bob Barker has been on with Scott a couple times, so Bob, if you're listening, believe me, you are missed. It's a shame. Paul Harvey Jr., remember, he followed in his father's footsteps, so sometimes these news people or entertainers, they follow in their father or mother's footsteps, but I guess that's not going to happen with some of my favorite game show hosts.
There's a lot of pastors that follow in their father's footsteps.
They'll never be replaced. I remember him from High Rollers or Gambit, one of those. And he's just always been so sharp. And it's just everything you look for in a game show host. What a loss. But his legacy lives on. But, in Jeopardy, he always pronounced all those foreign, especially French. He seemed to like French a lot. He pronounced these words so perfectly.
Huh.
And I'd like to hear Drew Carey do that. So,
all he's going to do is spin the wheel.
Yeah, it added quite a flavor to the show. Yeah, I guess execrate means you really hate somebody. Then it says vilify, decry.
I'm going to use that today.
Revile. That means revile means hate. So there's another word that's
true.
Hate. But I think we should. Yeah, I think we should. I think this has come up before. Have more synonyms for love. We have too many synonyms for hate. We have enough negativity.
Yep.
That is, it's okay. Small and big both have a dozen synonyms, and I guess that's okay because sometimes small is good, sometimes big is good. But yeah, I think we need more words that mean love. I would agree.
But I think people have if you would say somebody's big and somebody's huge, I think that's different.
Yeah. It's relative, yeah. It also depends upon. I mean, if you're
you'd rather be called big than huge, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you might be talking about a building. Like saying that the Willis Tower, formerly the Sears Tower, is enormous. You wouldn't really say it's big, and you would say like Columbus is big, but Chicago is huge. So there's degrees of it. But yeah, synonyms aren't perfect. But like big and large, they pretty much mean exactly the same thing. Whereas hate, to me, dislike isn't quite as strong as hate, but abominate is stronger than hate. There's a line there between the degrees of the word, but they do have the same. They convey the same concept. And again, we have the idioms like "not my cup of tea," which is kind of a soft way of, which kind of means dislike. It's not as strong as hate, or a word like abominate. Don't care for.
Adam, people don't like that you're dissing Drew Carey. We're getting messages.
Yeah. I'm not a fan. I've never been a fan of his. I know he's local, and I admire his weight loss. I just have never, I've never been a fan. I'm sorry. I know I'm going to get hate. That's okay. I apologize. Believe me. Because I don't like having to say I don't have a positive opinion about someone who's local. But
do you hate him or you dislike him?
No, I don't. I admire him. I mean,
well, you admire him. Okay.
He's self-made as a multi-talented person. I think he's unattractive. Yeah, he just doesn't present himself well on TV. I know he had that beard when I watched Price is Right last week. It just looks horrible. And I, he just doesn't present himself well. He's not really well spoken. He doesn't seem at ease with the game show hosting job.
All he needs
Steve Harvey also. I mentioned this on Facebook before. Steve Harvey and Drew Carey, two of the worst choices for a game show host. I don't know who made those choices.
All they have to say is, "I'd like to cash this check, Mr. Banker."
Yeah, they're rich. They do.
And people must be watching, or they wouldn't leave them there.
Yeah.
If I could choose between Steve Harvey on The Family Feud, and because you know Richard Dawson also, what a legend, and the guy who lives from Cincinnati also.
I didn't like Richard Dawson.
Yeah,
well, he was always kissing people. They'd have to quarantine him right now. Put him away.
Yeah, you kind of wonder about that. Yeah, yeah. Well, you notice on The Price is Right where the contestants are spaced, and nobody does any. There's no hugs, no handshakes, and everybody stays like 6-10 feet apart. It's kind of fascinating how they do that. They've redone the whole stage, and yeah.
I haven't watched a game show since the 50s.
It is fascinating, Glenn. Though it's fascinating that the way they've separated people. You got no hugs, no handshakes. Everybody stays apart, and even tells people like when they spin that the wheel, just to go ahead and follow this path to where you're going to stand, where you're going to sit. It's fascinating.
We'll take your word for it.
Watch Price is Right, and you'll see it. It really is. It is something else because you associate the game shows with the human contact, and it is kind of a shame. It's fascinating on one end, but really kind of sad on the other.
I think we've killed that divorce.
I don't know. I Hollywood Squares. They didn't allow him to touch the celebrities. I didn't think that was a human contact show.
Yeah. Well, I think we've beaten it into the ground, and I've already hung.
Not we, Adam. Not we. You.
I've already had the haters come out with my assessments, but you know me. I'll always tell it like it is.
Okay.
Who used to say that?
Howard Cosell.
Howard Cosell. Okay.
But you know what? I always said he tells it like he thinks it is.
Oh, Howard Cosell. You mean Howard Cosell? Do you like my imitation of him, Glenn?
I'm not a big fan of any imitation of him. I wasn't a fan of his.
Okay, well, I can try to talk like him. I actually like Howard Cosell.
I met him a couple of times when I was in the intercollegiate athletic business, and neither time was he very polite.
Did you go for the toupee?
No.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, does he wear his hair when you meet him in person, or what's the deal with the hair?
I never criticize anybody for wearing a toupee because I wore a toupee for 1 year, and I have a picture of me wearing the toupee, and I look as stupid as I could ever look.
No, I think you probably look good. I
look terrible.
I'd like to see the that would be interesting.
I'll put it on next week when I'm announcing my next. No, I don't think I have a copy of that picture. Oh well.
You gain the fun facts, you know, when you talk about this stuff.
All right,
thanks, Adam.
Well, have a good day.
Have a great day, Adam.
Okay. Well,
I think we've killed every pronunciation concern.
Well, I don't think that conversation had anything to do with pronunciation. I think it went over into game shows and game show hosts.
Do you watch game shows?
Toupees? No.
I don't either. I can't stand game shows.
No, I mean, they're okay. I mean, I've been around when other people have been watching them.
Well, you know, Adam has one of those brains that he remembers that minutia of
how game show hosts look?
No.
That was how he... It didn't seem like facts. He was basing it on... The how good the host was. It seemed like he was basing on how they look.
Well, for sure, on Carey.
On Drew Carey, sure. So I'm not sure that really make a good host is how they look.
No, and I really do love Whose Line Is It Anyway? And it was hosted by Drew Carey for a long time. Now it's hosted by Alicia, or I can't remember her name. Anyway, I like it now because she's pretty.
Go ahead, caller.
Hello.
Hello.
So here's the one that I don't know if I've ever heard you guys talk about, talking about like incorrect grammar, mispronunciations, and just all that stuff. I didn't know this until my 7th grade English teacher told me this. Have you ever heard people say the word irregardless?
Yeah,
yes,
that's not a word.
Right.
Yeah, I grew up hearing people say that in my household all the time, and I didn't realize there's no such word.
Just regardless.
Yes.
Yeah, I never... Yep.
I love that. I love that one because it really, it's like fingernails on the chalkboard to me when somebody says irregardless.
Well, I don't like when people say literally, because literally is always literally.
It's literal.
Well, yeah, why do you have to tell somebody that?
Yes, it's like when you preface whatever you're going to say with, well, if we're being honest, well, shouldn't you always say, you know,
honest? I love that one.
With that comparison to all the lies that you've
said. I always tell them, no, tell me a lie.
Yeah. Okay, see ya.
Thank you, bye-bye.
I love her.
And again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I don't like literally because it everything's literal.
It's literally stupid.
Right. It is stupid. And I don't like when people say it is what it is. Well, what else would it be?
Yeah, that's a good one, too. Yeah. That doesn't bother me because I don't hear that very often.
It is what it is. You know, that's people's comfort. In a bad situation. Well, it is what it is.
Yeah, it's like saying, well, I guess I don't care.
Yeah, is what it is. What is that? And there's another one that I can't think of, so it must not bother me as much, but those two, literally, and it is what it is.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know what I hate now? I hate, it seems like even the intelligent talking.
Aisha Tyler.
That's
who's lying. Thanks to our listener out there.
Thank you. I love her. She's beautiful. She's 5'11". I like tall women. My daughter's 5'9", so I like tall women. My wife's not short, but
so you and Adam base your like of game show hosts on how they look.
Absolutely.
You and Adam are very similar. I've always said this. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, a couple of words that I don't like is often.
Often?
Often.
Pronouncing the T hard?
Yes.
Instead of often?
You know, yeah. How about soften and hasten and fasten?
Oh, I try never to talk to people that say those words.
Yeah.
He's a fasten.
Okay. Another word, too, is dispatch. If it's dispatch, it's the verb, and if it's dispatch, it's a noun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that
good point.
That drives me when someone says often.
Often. Yeah. I'm trying to remember anybody I know that says that, but I hope I don't know anybody that says that.
You're probably sitting right next to one right now.
Scott, do you say often?
Not yeah, too often.
I wasn't going to say anything until you said you were going to tell us. Listen for somebody to say.
Only when I go up to Milan, Ohio.
Okay, yeah. Well, yeah.
You go there often?
To go there often.
Sure. Yeah,
because I'm a fastin'.
Or hey, Roo.
Hey, Roo. Holy mackerel. Only the people in Lay Roo say Lay Roo.
Yeah.
People mispronounce my name, too. There's a Schofield Heights here in Marion, out off of Bell Fountain and Windsor. That's known as Schofield Heights. I think there was a judge here in Marion, if I'm not mistaken.
And it's pronounced Brown? How is it pronounced correctly?
They pronounce it Schofield.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, people pronounce that. They don't. Most Americanization, they drop the H.
Yeah.
It's an English name, and when they come to the country, they get tired of hearing Schofield, so they drop the H, and then people know it's not, you know, what it's supposed to be.
But Schofield Barracks
in Hawaii, too.
I read an interesting article that talked about favorite accents of American women, and the British accent is one of the favorites.
Interesting.
So I would say Schofield.
There you go, Schofield. We got to go to break.
Several people know about Schofield Barracks and like that, you know.
Hey, well,
the Second World War, but.
Well, hey, thanks. We're going to break here. Stay tuned.
Okay.
All
right.
Bye-bye.
All right. We'll be back in about 15 minutes.
CRT Mechanicals. Address, 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number, 740-224-495. Webpage, CRT.